Taylor Swift came for everyone in the tortured poets department.
She came for the haters, the critics, and even the fans. Hey guys, welcome to Hits Different. I'm Ryan.
I'm Molly, and we're two best friends who love talking about Taylor, except this time Taylor's talking directly to us. She called out everyone in Tortured Poets.
Yeah, she recorded a few voice memos introducing a few different songs, and I found one on Amazon Music that was new from the other ones I had seen, and it was for Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
What do we do to our writers and our artists and our creatives? We put them through hell. We watch what they create, then we judge it. We love to watch artists in pain, often to the point where I think sometimes as a society, we provoke that pain. We just watch what happens.
I have so many thoughts. Just like her saying like, yeah, this is true. I feel like just that like line is so impactful because we talk about how we don't know what some songs are about. Some are fiction, some are true. We don't know what's what. And to hear Taylor validate and say, this is true. This is how I feel. This is no metaphor. This is real. And it's obviously very intentional that all the other songs she chose to do voice memos about were a little bit more safe and just kind of about like fictional stories and, you know, just normal stuff. And this one was, hey, this is about me. And like, I feel this deeply.
It reminds me of when she talks about writing Mirror Ball on the Long Pond sessions for Folklore, that she referenced circus stuff then too. And in Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, she's saying like that she's a circus animal. They cut out all of her teeth. And I don't even know how to wrap my brain around this song, but we're gonna try. The fact that she feels like she's a witch in a haunted house or a caged animal, just any of that, it's so sad, but also so true. Like, I 100% see how she feels that way. And it makes me feel bad as a fan that that's how she feels.
So stripped down and just raw. It's like, this is what you're left with. I was gentle and tame, and like the circus made me mean. And she was. I mean, you think about her starting out as an artist, and she was so starry-eyed and innocent and had no idea what lay ahead. And still, even after, you think people would just chill out. And the album hasn't even been out for that long. And per usual, you got articles and people just doing the most and completely missing everything Taylor's trying so desperately to convey. For the first time, like, feels like she's really putting it in front of you and being like, please listen to this. And she didn't just do one song, which we will obviously go into. There's multiple with this reoccurring theme. And so it's just like, hey, did you miss that the first time? Well, here's another one. Here's another one. And clearly people still miss the point and are just oblivious because people don't like to take ownership, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just the first lyrics of the song, the who's who of who's that is poised for the attack, but my bare hands paved their path, you don't get to tell me about sad. That alone, the who's who of who's that, I feel like is about all of us trying to always piece together who certain songs are about and what's Taylor writing about now and what happened. And she's saying like, I know that I'm playing into it because I'm writing about my life. So then therefore people tell me that I don't get to be upset about how people take it off the rails. But I am. I don't want to feel like a circus freak or a witch in a haunted house. I just want to write about my life and share it with people without them breaking down everything and relating it to certain people. And
Yeah, like just like how she said in the memo, you know, like people feel like they take ownership and that they have a right to like critique you and like judge you. And it's like, you know, you think about media outlets, it's like, oh, it's just their job, you know, to do an album review and to do this and that. It's like, sure, but there's opinion and then there's slander and libel, you know? It's like, and sometimes, a lot of the time, that's how far media takes it. And it's no longer you saying, oh, I don't like this song, or I don't like Taylor. It's like, oh, and here's why. And it's all these receipts that are completely fabricated and felt like they need to be pushed on people.
She says, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. And I saw people on social media after the album came out saying like, what asylum? The Christmas tree farm? No!
Have you heard of a metaphor or an analogy? She's a poet. We know it. And like, It's not that literal, y'all. Some of it's literally like very like as literal as it could be, and some's just like, use your freaking brain. It's a comparison. That's how bad it was. That's what you should be stuck with, not like doing the math and deep diving and Googling what asylum did Taylor Swift go to, who raised her there. It's like, okay. And I'm sure she, if we feel this way, she's probably just like, I all right, like, what more do I have to do? Like, should I be more literal? I don't know.
Right. The asylum is not her childhood home. Asylum is being raised in the public eye and having her life picked apart ever since. Yeah. And every person that she dates and every person that she's friends with and everything that she wears and everything that she does. A part of me felt bad because I feel like I'm part of the problem. I definitely have listened to her music and equated it to certain people and tried to figure out what she's trying to talk about instead of trying to make certain things about my own life. And I'm glad that she called us out because we can correct our behavior. We don't have to play into it. We can talk about Taylor and her music without having to look at it through that lens. And honestly, it was like a good heat check. I think that we needed it.
I mean, she's been calling us out since Blank Space and probably even before then, but that's like the first vivid memory of, you know, where she made a song that was like part satire and parody and part real, because it's what the media was doing and what fans, what people were doing, you know, speculating about her love life and saying all these things. And oh, well, you know, this must be true because that's what they say, like in Who's Afraid of Little Me. It's like, oh, like she's drunk on her tears, like isn't that what they say? And she's equating herself to this witch living in this house, or, you know, haunting people, stepping on her lawn, because that's how she's seeing it, how she must feel, you know. Not to bring gender into it, but if she was a man, it wouldn't be like this, because she's not the first person to ever come out and be so vocal about certain relationships or experiences. Artists do that all the time, but people just are obsessed with Taylor doing it.
And it's definitely gotten worse. I feel like because she was in a relationship for a long period of time, I feel like people almost felt more entitled to their opinion because it was like so clear sometimes who she was talking about or what relationship she was talking about. And since that relationship is over now, the way that Tortured Poets was received by some people originally was like making lists of, is this song about this person and is this song about this person? And it's like, she's literally screaming at us in this song. She's screaming, you're making me go crazy. Stop.
She probably had a break in a sense from the relationship talk because she was in a 6-year relationship. So it's like, yeah, people would talk and say some stuff, but between her and Joe being so private, we had nothing, you know, we had only what we had. And then, so she was like safe. And now having to deal with a public breakup on tour, it's like, now it's probably just like reawakening all the stuff times 10. Cause now it's like, oh my God, 6 years, like, oh, we're back to this again, blah, blah, blah. Oh, great. Who's she dating? What's going on?
She talks about that in How Did It End, which I think is, it's such a heartbreaking song. It's hard to even listen to, but it's also so relatable. Like exactly what you're saying. As soon as a relationship ends, people start asking. She talks about in that song, like, guess who I saw down at the shops walking around like she was lost, and we'll tell no one but all of our friends. But then our friends will go and tell their partners and their cousins, and everyone partakes in the gossip. And while that is so true for Taylor's life, and many people, fans included, have all participated in that, not just the media. We've all been part of the problem. But that's also such a relatable feeling for anyone who's been in a short-term or long-term relationship and all of a sudden it's over. If your friends or your family knew that you were dating someone and that relationship ends, having to tell people is hard.
Right, and the song says basically like, oh yeah, like the first thing they go to is like, they want to know like, how did it end? And people aren't thinking first, oh my God, is she okay? It's like, okay, but how did it end? I need the drama. I need the tea. I've been the person in the breakup that people talk about. And then I've been on the other side where it's like just human nature to be curious. At the end of the day, no one can stop anyone from having their own personal thoughts and like whatever. But it's like when you start to take that public and make it a fact, that's where like all of this goes to the next level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I even said after the news of Taylor and Joe breaking up started to spread a year ago, I'm pretty sure that I said, well, I won't believe it till I hear it from Taylor herself. Why did I think she owed me anything? Like, I don't know.
A, that's just not her way. Also, I feel like, yeah, who does she owe it to?
The line in How Did It End where she says, come one, come all, it's happening again, makes my heart sink because she knew. Like, as soon as her relationship started to deteriorate, it's like, great, here we go again. Everyone's gonna wonder what happened. Everyone's gonna be expecting this from me. And now I have to tell people. And it's so difficult. At the end of the song, she's saying, like, I still don't know. How did it end? Like, how am I supposed to tell this story to people that's so deeply personal? I'm expected to go and put it out
there. And imagine, like, going through a breakup or thinking about an impending breakup or whatever is already hard enough as a normal person when you're dealing with it just with yourself and your partner. But to have the pressure of knowing, like, all right, this isn't serving me anymore. I think this is leading towards a breakup. But what does that come with? And am I ready for all the backlash? Like, it's like you almost have to, like, drag it out a bit to be like, all right, I need to make sure I'm in, like, a good headspace to deal with all of the backlash. And it's like, I can't even imagine just publicizing stuff I've been through on top of dealing with it yourself.
It's hard enough to tell the people in your life and then the world. Okay, great. Or on the flip side, you know, we're just talking about a relationship ending. What about a relationship beginning and you're excited about it and want to be out with your person and then it's not received well? Like, I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling too of like, wait, why aren't my friends happy for me in this relationship or whatever it might be, or my parents or something like that. And she talks about that in But Daddy, I Love Him. The way she specifically comes for the fan base in this song was brilliant. There are so many lyrics where I feel like she's coming for the fans, but the most obvious moment was when she says, screaming, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. And literally, when we were listening to the song for the first time, my jaw fell on the floor. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. I was like, snap out of it. Oh my gosh, she just broke the fourth wall and literally made fun of us because she knows we crazy. And that one line could just send us. And so she had to clarify it in the song, like, no, I'm not. But why do you care
so much? She's like, I know you're listening, like, and it's like dropping that just for us. And I thought it was interesting the pluralization. It's like, daddy is singular. And it's like, at first you're like, oh yeah, she's just trying to get her dad's approval. We all know how that is, whatever. And then when she says, like, you should see your faces, it's like, wait, it's bigger than that. Like, because obviously I'm sure her dad's approval is, you know, something that she values, but it ain't about that. At least not, you know, it's not really the depth of what this is about.
I didn't even notice these lyrics the first couple of times actually listening to it. Too high a horse for a simple girl to rise above it. It's like we put her on such a pedestal and such a high horse for her to be on that she can't even reach it. And so if she's in a relationship with someone that the fan base doesn't approve of, or just the general public doesn't approve of, it became such a big deal that literally Swifties were writing open letters to Taylor, like begging her to break up with someone. And I don't care how you feel about people that she has dated, whether you like them or not, but like publicly demanding that she breaks up with them as if she owes you something is wild. And she's calling that out directly in this song. She says, I'll tell you something right now. I'd rather burn my whole life down than listen to one more second of all this and moaning. I'll tell you something about my good name. It's mine alone to disgrace. I don't cater to all these vipers dressed in empath clothing.
Fans that are like, oh, I love you, Taylor. I'm empathetic and I want what's best for you and blah, 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 blah. It's like our only job is to love and support her.
And her music.
Yeah. Like, and if you don't, then like, specifically, move along.
Yeah.
You know, there will be thousands of people that will replace you. And like, she doesn't need that. And like, as part of the fandom, I remember feeling, you're like, oh, like she's talking to us. And I was like, well, not like us, but like you said, like we've been guilty of our own stuff. And it was like, we're listening and we're paying attention, especially as two people who talk about Taylor for lots of people to hear. It's like, it was important before, and now it's even more important. I felt the message, so I will accept the slap on the wrist, where unfortunately a lot of people, they'll just keep on keeping on.
Totally. Yeah, I'm 100% guilty of feeling like I could try and talk about who certain songs might be about and things like that. I never went so far as to, you know, signing an open letter addressed to Taylor about who not she even should close. Be dating.
Yeah, for but the I... record, we were not part of that group. Yeah. Not even close. I think that is not okay. And that's saying it very nicely.
Yeah, but I've definitely been guilty of comparing people that she's dated and things like that, and reading way too far into things to try and figure out what was going on. And we're checking ourselves, because she literally says, "God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me, sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see." Anyone who's out there making TikToks and videos about who she should or should not be dating, she doesn't care. It's her choice. She's gonna like who she's gonna like, and she's over it. She's over us commenting on it.
And I don't want to be labeled as a or fall into the group that's deemed the judgmental creep, so I'm good. I'm gonna stay out of that.
I saw someone post a video that was like, so last year Taylor said speak now, and now she said sit down and shut up. And she liked it. She liked the video.
Oh my god, amazing.
Yeah,
she's probably like, yeah, basically.
She talks about this theme throughout so many other songs on the album too.
I know, and it's interesting. It's like more impactful because she's now in a new relationship that she's obviously very happy to be in, and yet she still thinks it's important to get this message across, because God forbid something happens to her and Travis, like, here we go again. And it's like, that cycle will never ever die. And so it's just like, yeah, I'm good now, but like, I haven't forgotten what you guys did. So mm-hmm. And she keeps receipts, as we all know. Thank you, Amy. Let's go. So, you know, it needed to be said.
Yeah, I think that overall, my takeaway is like, there's a difference between being excited about seeing Travis and Taylor at Coachella, for example, or that she went to a football game. Like, that's never going to stop. But the constant dissection of her work and only making it relevant in the terms of who it was written about is not okay in her book.
It made me think about how you have the other people who are like criticizing and critiquing this album on like the far side of saying like, oh, she never changes anything, or like coming for Jack, or just like expecting something bigger and better, as if this isn't a masterpiece. And even if you don't like it, it's like, imagine putting all of this effort and heart and blood and sweat and tears into this 31 song album, and then that is the opinions of like, obviously not everyone, but like enough people that I'm keep mm-hmm. hearing it, and it's like, that's devastating. But we feel like, oh, she's not a real person, so we can say that. It's like, would you say that to your friends? Would you be like, I don't know, you just did something great, and like but it's not as good as the last thing you did, or mm-hmm. it's just not your best work? No, we would never say that. And it's like almost like that's like the level two when you think about social media and the bullying and the trolls, and it's all related. It's like all of a sudden, because we don't have a direct connection to someone, we think we can say whatever we want, and like they won't hear it, or it doesn't matter, it doesn't count.
Yeah, there was a certain article critiquing the album, saying that Taylor needed an editor. And, you know, we just won't even mention that they couldn't get the name of the album right, so they need an editor. However, I saw a really good comment on that post that said, imagine saying to someone in like at a real world work environment, like not music, like corporate job, okay? You did too much work. You worked too hard. You shouldn't have done that. No one would ever say that.
No.
So whether you want to listen to all 31 songs or not, it doesn't matter, because the fans who she gave us this diary, this manuscript, these last 2 years of her life, she gave all 31 tracks to us for a reason. And as I listen through it, there's literally not one that I'm like, oh, I didn't need to hear that part of the story. We did need all 31 songs. Taylor is the most successful artist. She knows what should be on the album and what shouldn't. And if you don't want to listen to all of it, no one's making you. So why are you complaining?
Brings to mind a comment I saw on another article. They do not deserve the clout or recognition, saying like, she's too much. Like, just her as an artist. She's just too much. Someone was like, dude, if she's too much, like, go find less. And like, that's, I love that expression as is. But honestly, if you don't want to hear or see anything about Taylor, you can do that. You know, there's tons of artists that are out there doing the most, and I don't see any of it if I'm not looking, you know? The editor thing was crazy too, because it came out so quick. Probably, I think, feel like it was like less than 24 hours from when the album dropped. And also, they only were reviewing the first half. So it's like, just if you're gonna do it, you know what I mean? And then, yeah, they got the name wrong. So, you know, it's just, it's so cheap and it's so disappointing as a prior journalism major that you are using your platform for this. And like, Taylor sees all of it. And, you know, she's been posting on her stories all of the album reviews that aren't trash and actually have like deeper thoughts and actually listened and tried to comprehend. And that could have been you. But nope, now you're on her burn list. So good job. And mine, because you're trash.
It's not shocking that she wrote a song called I Hate It Here, where she talks about literally having to like disassociate and escape because she hates the world that we live in. I mean,
yeah. And it makes me scared because there's so many songs and vibes on this album where you're like, are you good? And like, please don't like succumb to any of this. And please don't go away. And I can't even like begin to think about how pissed I would be at all of these people that are contributing to the problem, making her feel so, as she said, worthless. Like, God, it's just,
this place made me feel worthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she talks about that in so many different songs, not even just specifically about like these targeted things, just when she's always saying like, oh, like just want someone who enjoys my company. And I know that's like on a relationship level, but still there's so many times she talks about herself in such self-deprecating way. It's like so sad to hear because meanwhile, I mean, we don't know her personally, but it's like, girl, come on. None of these things are true. And the fact that you believe them is crazy.
I don't know if she believes it, but it's like, hard to block out the noise.
Or she's like,
you know,
thought it once, you know, like, I don't think overall she feels this way, but she's had those thoughts of feeling less than, and it's because of this. And honestly, I don't know how she's made it this far. I like to think that she's just a badass. And I mean, I Can Do It With a Broken Heart proves like she good. And thank God.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I think the perfect way to wrap it all up is that whatever she's going through, and even despite how she might be feeling, she is still delivering for the fans. And I hope she knows like how much joy her work brings to us. Like when she was at her lowest and most depressed, if you listen to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, you realize just how depressed she really was. And she was still on stage every night making our lives. Like, people who saw the Eras Tour, their lives changed. I know that sounds dramatic, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
The joy and happiness of people who get to see her in person, or just you and I, like, being able to get so excited for the last, like, 2 months to be able to listen to brand new music together and, like, sit down on a couch and just let it wash over us, like, and now it'll be the soundtrack for, you know, however long in our lives that we keep listening to these songs forever, because I'm so into this album, it's insane. But I hope she just knows that all of this means a lot to us, that she still is showing up and, like, delivering to the fans.
I mean, the joy I feel when I hear her music, whether it's in person or not, is pretty unmatched. And it's like often on a daily basis that I seek it out. And like, she's the soundtrack to our lives. She's my therapist. She's like my best friend. She's all the things, you know? And like, that's hard to come by. And I think all the haters just don't feel that way. And so they're just jealous. And instead of relating and trying to, you know, come into the orbit with Taylor, they're just trying to fight against it. And obviously we deep dived a few of these songs, but there are other honorable mentions or notable mentions on this album that are worth a listen. We briefly talked about I Hate It Here, but there's also Clara Bow, Cassandra, The Albatross, all have, they're more storytelling and going down that route, but the message is still there. And it's worth listening to. Honestly, if you listen to all of those, plus Daddy, I Love Him, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, and then just like end it with I Can Do It with a Broken Heart to like go back up. Like that's a, you're going to feel like, damn, maybe I shouldn't tweet that thing, or maybe I shouldn't write this, and maybe I should just like think before I put all of this out there, or maybe not. And then you know what? You do you, but we tried. We will not, you know, be doing any of those things. And we want to stand on the right side of history.
Yes. Let us know how these songs made you feel. What's resonating with you the most out of these messages? Because there's just so much.
It's deep, y'all. It's deep. Double meanings, triple meanings. There's a lot.
And also, But Daddy, I Love Him was produced by Aaron Dessner and Jack Antonoff together, which just means that it's one of the best songs possible on the album. It's just so good. It's so good.
It starts slow and then it just punches you in the face when you get to the chorus and you're like,
all right, we're gonna go keep listening to the album. Now I have all these lyrics in my head again. I need to listen to the songs. Thanks for listening to this episode of Hits Different, a Taylor Swift podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a like, follow, subscribe, rate, or review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X @ItHitsDiffPod. Bye.